Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. Well, today is the final portion of the three-part series on the origin of meaning and morality. In today's broadcast, Michael Penfold looks at the atheistic worldview and its effect on present-day ethical and moral decisions. Issues like abortion, designer babies, and euthanasia are just some of the tangled issues. He compares the claims of atheism with Christianity when it comes to the four big questions of life: origin, morality, meaning, and destiny. We think it is obvious which of these worldviews is logically coherent and rationally consistent in its claims. We hope you will follow Mr. Penfold's arguments in his message today.
You know, we tend to think, do we not, of the history of Western man as kind of progress, and we kind of think, well, we live in a scientific age. And, you know, years ago, we used to be ignorant and stupid, and now we're getting better and better and better. Progress, we've put a man on the moon, we've got a smartphone in our pocket, and there's fantastic things being done in science. No, just you wait. What is about to happen in Western society is the corrupt, fallen, wicked, independent, autonomous, rebellious mind of man is about to be connected to a perverted science. And so what you're going to be able to do now is choose what baby you have. Designer babies. There was an article on the BBC website the other day about virgin births. So there are girls in England who are saying, look, I don't want to do it the way it's normally done. So they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, that's fine, we can arrange for you to have a virgin birth. We'll just impregnate you, and that's fine. Which one would you like? Boy, girl, black, white? And so we'll be faced with all kinds of ethical dilemmas. Cloning. Designer babies. So granny is just too much burden for the family. You know, grandma's just, you know, she knows that when her daughter comes in to clean up, there's this disappointed look on her daughter's face because the daughter's tired and stressed out. So granny just thinks it's time to go. So granny wants to take a pill. Granny wants to have an injection. That's what's happening. That's what's happening in Belgium right now and in Holland. You can just ring up and say, I want to die, and they'll inject you, and you're gone. Finished. And the pressure is on all the time. And you say, oh, our government will never agree to that. You see, the problem is, the foundation was destroyed in 1859. So the legs were ripped out from under traditional biblical ethics and morals. Why is abortion wrong? Because that baby in the womb is made in the image of God. And from the moment of conception, that baby has a soul. That baby is just as human as you or me. Smaller, yes. In the first few days and weeks, not fully developed, yes, but fully human, fully made in the image of God. It is not ours to decide whether it lives or not. Oh, but it was born because of a rape and so on. So it pays the penalty for the father's crime? Let me give you a quote. A German Darwinian biologist called Arnold Dodel, D-O-D-E-L. This is what he wrote in 1904. The new worldview actually rests on the theory of evolution, and on it we have to construct a new ethics. All values will have to be revalued. And that's what's happening. That's why in Canada and America and in Europe, all the walls have fallen down. Because when somebody says, oh, but we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be doing that, we shouldn't be doing the other, everybody just shrugs and says, why not? And if you pull out the Bible and say, well, because the Bible says so, they look at you as if you've come from Mars. Because they got rid of the Bible in 1859, and it's been replaced by a new ethics. So Richard Dawkins, I must get off the negative stuff and get onto some positive stuff in a few minutes. Richard Dawkins, in his book, The Devil's Chaplain. So this is the leading atheist in the world today. He's in America just recently. He's charging £1,000 a ticket to have dinner with Dawkins. $1,000. So we can't get people to come for free. He can get them to come $1,000 at a time. In his book, The Devil's Chaplain, he says there is no difference between an abortion and the killing of a chimpanzee. And he defends cloning, embryo research, and everything else. So having got rid of the Bible, we've got rid of the basis for saying that abortion is wrong. Even for wearing clothes, we have no basis for insisting that people wear clothes in public without the Bible. So someone walks down the middle of Paris with nothing on, what can they do? Well, people are offended. Well, what's going to happen when people aren't offended? What's going to happen when a minority are offended but the majority are not? That's what's going to happen. Because the wall fell down a long time ago, and now the enemy is coming in like a flood. So in America, every few months, someone gets hold of a gun. So on the 20th of April, 1999, in they went to this American high school and shot dead 13 people and injured 24 others. Guess what day they did it on? The anniversary of Hitler's birthday. Emblazoned on his t-shirt on the back were these two words: natural selection. Ideas have consequences. The logical outworking of a perverted anti-God philosophy. Not all atheists are immoral, but morality as a goodness cannot be justified with atheistic presuppositions. An atheist may have personal moral values, but he cannot have any sense of compelling and universal moral obligation. Moral duty cannot logically operate without a moral law. And there is not a moral law in an amoral world. Now let me finish by looking at four questions. By working down these four questions and saying, what does the theological glasses, what does the Bible say, and what does naturalism say? And let anybody here who's not convinced, let them choose between these two. We're going to ask these four questions: origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. Origin, how did life come to be? Meaning, what is the purpose of life? Morality, how may I know the difference between right and wrong? Destiny, what happens to me when I die? First question, origin, how did life come to be? What does naturalism say? Naturalism says everything came from nothing by accident. Life came from non-life. Reason came from non-reason. In the words of Will Provine, a biologist at Cornell University, Darwinism means no life after death, no ultimate foundation for ethics, no ultimate meaning for life, no free will. You got it? You say, what do you mean no free will? I've got free will. I can do what I want. No, you can't. Not if you're just neurons. Not if you're just DNA. You do what your DNA says. Your free will is an illusion. You think you are choosing this and choosing that, but you're actually just doing, well, in the words of Richard Dawkins, you're dancing to your DNA. How wonderful to go back to the Bible. How did I come to be? I was created by an infinite, absolute, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God who had in mind my eternal blessing to make me like his son. How did I come to be? What about the question of meaning? What is the purpose of my life? Do you know, somebody asked Dawkins one day, what's the purpose of life? He said, that's a silly question. That's like asking, what is the color of jealousy? Stephen Jay Gould, leading American evolutionist. He said about you and me, we are here because, this is a big statement, we are here because, you're on planet Earth because, quote, one odd group of fishes had a peculiar fin anatomy that could transform into legs for terrestrial creatures. We may yearn for a higher answer, but none exists. Did you get that? You are on planet Earth wandering around from place to place today because many, many millions of years ago, a fish evolved legs. That's it. There is no other reason why you're here. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Life has no meaning. Ah, put those Bible glasses back on again. Things look a lot better when you've got Bible glasses on. What is the meaning of life? Says the Westminster Confession, to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
very purpose of my existence, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Meaning comes from my Creator, who made me for His pleasure and made me on purpose to worship Him, to serve Him, to live for Him, to dwell with Him. How did I come to be? What is the purpose of my life? Let me ask this next question. How may I know the difference between right and wrong? Some years ago, there was a debate between Bertrand Russell. He's an atheist. He wrote a book, Why I Am Not a Christian. He had a debate with Frederick Copplestone, a professing Christian minister. So they're having this debate, an atheist and a believer in Christianity. Copplestone says to Bertrand Russell, how do you tell the difference between blue and pink? Bertrand Russell says, oh, that's easy, by sight. Okay, Copplestone says, next question. He asks the atheist, how do you tell the difference between right and wrong? Oh, that's easy, says Bertrand Russell, by feeling. Do you see where relativism gets us? Do you see where deciding what's right and wrong by feeling gets us? If there is no ultimate law giver, then there is no way to decide ultimately and accurately what's right and what's wrong. So an atheist who says, that's not fair, that's not right, I don't agree with that because that's not ethical, that's not moral, he's sitting on a branch that he sawed off years ago. We have a program on the radio at home called The Moral Maze. Once a week, these philosophers all get together and discuss the latest moral issue, Syria, ISIS, whatever it is. And there's no Bible in the room anywhere. And they're all trying to discuss what's right and what's wrong. It's hilarious because they've all got different ideas and they're all plucking things out of thin air. They're trying to decide right and wrong without a reference point. So at Nuremberg, when the Nazis went on trial, what was their response? So the Americans and the British managed to round up a few Nazis. Most of them got away. They rounded up a few and they put them on trial. You've killed 6 million people. Terrible thing to do. And they looked back at the judge and said, we were just obeying the law of the land. You see, when you challenge an atheist on what's right and wrong, he says, oh, that's against the law. What if man changes the law and says, it's all right. It's all right to do these things. We can pass our own laws. We can define right and wrong ourselves. Atheism leaves us with no way of distinguishing between right and wrong. What does the Bible give us? The Bible gives us an absolute standard. Don't we preach it in the gospel? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's how you distinguish between right and wrong. We have a Creator God who is absolutely perfect, and He has revealed His character and nature in the Scriptures, and there it all is for us. The perfect righteousness and holiness of God has been laid out before us, and that's why we preach sin. But they daren't call sin sin anymore in the world. I didn't mention it, but Freud, Sigmund Freud. You ever heard of Sigmund Freud? He's the man that made up the id and the ego and all that. We still talk about it. Somebody's ego. That all goes back to this Sigmund Freud. Freud took Darwinism and he didn't apply it to politics. He didn't apply it to medical stuff. He applied it to the mind. He applied it to psychology. And he said, you've got a terrible desire to do this, this, and this, and this. And you went to a priest, and he made you feel guilty. He said it's wrong. Oh, that was a terrible thing of the priest to do that. It's not wrong. It's because you evolved from an ape. You're only doing what your ancestors used to do. You shouldn't worry about that. There are ways of dealing with that. And so we're now moving from a situation, we have moved from a situation where we now deal with sin and guilt. And people who have a drink problem and a drug problem, they seek spiritual advice. No, not anymore. If you've got an addiction to this or an addiction to that or an addiction, notice the language change now. You don't go to seek spiritual advice. You don't seek repentance. You don't seek restitution. You don't seek deliverance from guilt. You go to a clinic. A clinic. Why do you go to a clinic? Because you haven't got a spiritual problem. You've got a physical problem. So you're addicted to immoral practices. You've got this massive problem. You just can't stop doing bad stuff. Well, that's not sin. That's not guilt. That's not immoral. That's just stuff in your brain. We can retrain you and refocus you. And well, we're all pretty much the same, and we can't condemn anybody. And you just come along to our clinic and pay money, and we'll let you back out again, because there is no such thing as sin anymore. Freud redefined sin, along with Adler and Jung and all the rest of them, basing on Darwin's theory. We're just animals. We're not special. Morality has been redefined. Finally, destiny. Naturalism's answer to origins is bankrupt. Naturalism's answer to meaning is there is no meaning, which is a meaningless statement. Naturalism's answer to morality is there is no such thing as right and wrong. What is naturalism's answer to destiny? A hole in the ground. That's it. Do you think if naturalism is wrong on origin and wrong on meaning and wrong on morality, that it's going to be right on destiny? Is there somebody here today banking on atheism and Darwinism and hoping that when you die, there is no heaven and there is no hell? Think again. The Bible reveals to us most emphatically that what happens down here matters somewhere else. Sin has consequences. And in this life is your moment to get right with God and to be ready for eternity. Some years ago, I went out with my staff for a Christmas dinner. I came home, picked up my kids from my mum and dad's house, went round the corner to my house, and about half an hour later the phone rang. It was my mum. She said, "Can you come round? Dad's not speaking." About 2 days before Christmas, 2001, I went round to the house. My dad was sitting in his office chair, and I went in. I said, "Are you all right, Dad?" And he just looked at me, blank, couldn't speak. So my wife was there, she's a nurse, so we laid him down, called the ambulance. He's taken away in an ambulance to the hospital. A few hours later, we got a phone call. "Your father has had a massive bleed, stroke, 79 years of age." So I went down to the hospital, propped him up in bed. He couldn't see me, couldn't speak to me. He did squeeze our hand a couple of times. The whole family gathered from different places, and we just sat there and waited for the end. And as I looked at his body lying there on the bed, the sweat on his brow, nothing happening with the machinery that was around him, just waiting for that moment, I thought, what would it like to be an atheist? What would it be like right now to be nothing more than a relativist, Darwinist? Here's your beloved father, with whom you've lived for 28 years at home, and who was there at your wedding, and been devoted to you, loves your mother, and you've got all these happy memories, and he's taught you the gospel, and you've been saved, and you've been with him to places, and you've wept with him, and you've cried with him, and here his DNA is about to disintegrate, and he's about to go into a hole in the ground. Is that it? Is that where Darwinism has got us? Is that the glorious end of naturalism? A match struck, blown out in the dark. And about 3:20, on Boxing Day 2001, he took one long, labored breath, and he was gone. Sitting round that bed was about 6 of us, 7 of us. I said, "Let's sing." And we sang, "When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me, when by the gift of his infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, that will be glory for me." When you come to the end, my friend, there will only be one thing that matters. Do you have the truth, or are you believing the lie? Is anybody here who's having doubts? Just you take away from this one thing, that God is true and his word shall stand forever.
That's right. Morality cannot be justified by atheistic suppositions. They cannot bear the weight of logic and rationality. Atheism fails to answer the questions of origin, morality, meaning, or destiny. Does that sound like something you would risk your eternity on? Compare that uncertainty to the beautiful and clear simplicity of the gospel message. You were created by God, for God. You have a sin problem? God has solved that problem. You have the free will to choose or reject. So what will it be? We trust that if you are not saved, that you will stop running from God, from hiding behind fig leaves, and that you will come clean with God. Confess your sin and accept His unchanging truth and Christ as your personal Savior. We're glad you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by believers in Christ who are meeting at various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday, as well as other meetings such as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. If you've been challenged by today's message and would like to know more about the truth of the gospel or of gathering unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ following New Testament principles, take a look at our Anchor Point website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gathering center nearest you. Our Anchor Point messages are also available for listening and download at anchorpointradio.com. My name is Glenn Todd. Thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that Christ alone is the anchor for the soul.